join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with, I will not retreat.
We're all called. We're all called to live this life of faith. Where whatever you're doing, you can't do it to its fullest without living by faith. Whatever you're doing, you won't be as successful in it as God wants you to be without doing by faith. I don't care how great your talent is, how much your education is. I don't care who you know. I don't care how much you can politics to get around people of power. Whatever you're doing, you are not maximizing everything that God wants you to do in the way he wants you to do without living by faith. If you don't learn to live by faith, you're going to end up in shipwreck, never reaching the fullness of your potential. So God wants to be persistent and steadfast in our faith. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know, your labor is not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. So he wants us to draw near and draw close, but not draw back. Say that with me. Say, I will draw near, I'll draw close, but I'm not going to draw back. That's Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. Let us draw near with our true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood. Excuse me, pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast. The reason we got to hold fast, because there's circumstances and people and issues and news that's trying to take your faith. So hold fast to the profession of your faith. Keep holding on to what you claim, to what you believe, to what you've been saying, without wavering up and down. And James tells us, if you waver, we're like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. We're in doubt, and then we're in faith. He said, let not that man who does not get solidified in his faith think that he'll receive anything that God promised. So we started talking last week about why people draw back. Let me go further into this. We said people draw back from faith because of disillusionment and disappointment. Disappointment is this feeling of sadness from non-fulfilled hopes, dreams and expectations. I'm sad because something didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. I'm sad because I didn't hit the lottery. Even though you won out of 500 zillion who got a chance to hit. You upset. You didn't hit it. Disappointment. But that's one thing. But it's nothing to become disappointed with God. And also disillusioned with God. Disillusionment is this feeling of disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as you first believed. Become disillusioned. Well, I really thought that was a man of God. I really thought this person was it. And then I found out that they're really like this. And we become disillusioned. So we say, okay, I'm not going to trust anymore. And people become disillusioned with the church because of people. Let me say that again. People become disillusioned with God because of people. You know, it's like I heard some of us remember back in the day, and I wasn't pastoring then, but a man of God who I respect well, he was pastoring at the time of when everything first happened with Jimmy and Tammy Baker. And then the same time, Jimmy and Tammy Baker, something happened with Jimmy Swaggart. And then at the same time, there was persecution. People started talking about Oral Roberts. And all these were major ministries in the United States that was supported by people giving. And so a lot of people, they started looking at their churches, looking at their pastors. Okay? Well, if this happened with Jimmy Swagger, that would happen with Jim Baker, then I'm not giving here. And people became disillusioned with the church because of something their pastor didn't do. Y'all with me here? And so sometimes we become disillusioned with God, and God said, I didn't do that to you. I didn't tell you to marry him. So you married with God because you married a buster. You married with God because you didn't pray regarding that woman you should marry, and all you saw was lips and hips. You're married with God because you took a job that you didn't even pray about, but that looked like a good opportunity just because they were going to pay you a certain amount of money, and this or that happened on that job, and now you're married with God. And sometimes when we're married to God, you need to look at yourself. Because one thing I settled many years ago, it was from some teaching that Kim Hagin gave, and that is, there's never a problem on the giving end. It must be on the receiving end. Let me say that again. There's never a problem on the giving end. It must be on the receiving end. So if I don't pay my electric bill to now, what is it? Who paid it? Dominion. Dominion Energy. The reason why it's called Dominion Energy, because if you don't pay your bill, they will tell you, we got the Dominion. And we will dominate over your house. Okay? And so I don't pay my utility bill, my energy bill, my electric bill to Dominion. And I let it go months, and all of a sudden I come to the house one day, and all my power's off. And I use my cell phone and say, hey, now my power's off down here. He said, well, sir, looks like we tried to contact you. We tried to give you a warning. You haven't paid your bill for 3 months. Now, forget that. That has nothing to do with this. I want my power back on. Well, sir, you need to make a minimum of such and such payment. Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with money. All y'all want is my money. Every time I turn around, you're asking me for money. I want my power on. Now, how many of y'all know that don't go together? The problem is not on the giving end. The problem is on the receiving end. Something we, who were supposed to be receivers, have not done. God is faithful, period. God's good, period. So no problem on God's part. Look at your neighbor and say, must be you, must be you. If they roll their eyes at you, turn right back and just say, must be me, must be me. So we saw Judges 6, 12 and 13, Gideon. Gideon, God speaks to Gideon, and Gideon is hiding, trying to thresh the wheat without the Midianites seeing what he's doing, that he has any wheat. Otherwise, he'll continue to be oppressed, and they'll steal his food and keep them in poverty. And the angel of the Lord says to him in Gideon, Judges the 6th chapter, verse 12 and 13, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Watch it. He's hiding. He's hiding while he's threshing wheat. And the angel says, you are a mighty man of valor. Isn't it something how God can speak to you in a situation that you're like, you must be crazy. You struggling. Some of y'all don't know anything about this. You rolling pennies, which they need by now. They keep talking about they got a shortage of money. I want to go rolling. How bad you want it? I got a whole bunch of change at the house. We can work this out. Want a dollar for every quarter? How bad you want it? Because every time we got a coin shortage. If there's a coin shortage, then my coins ought to be in demand. Okay. You rolling money, you rolling pennies. Some of y'all don't know anything about this because they don't do it here in South Carolina. But if you look at bottles and cans, it says certain states, South Carolina's not one of them, this can or this bottle is worth 5 cents. See, y'all don't pay attention to that because it ain't worth nothing here. That was worth something in Maine. So up in Maine, Pastor Marshall and I, we used to hold on to bottles and we used to hold on to cans. We take them back to the supermarket and they would give us credit or money for those bottles. See, if you don't know anything about it, you putting cans together and bottles together, rolling coins, and God said to you, you're rich. Excuse me, God. I ain't got time for this right now. That's the situation he's in. He's hiding from the Midianites. And God said, you mighty man of valor. He's like, listen, I have no valor. I'm not mighty. And sometimes I'm wondering right now if I'm even a man. You calling me a mighty man of valor? Can I tell you, God will speak to your potential beyond your current situation. Because God wants to see you. God wants you to see him from his perspective, not your perspective. You mighty man of valor. And then Gideon goes on, verse 13. We hear his disappointment. We hear his disillusionment. He says, oh, Lord, if the Lord is really with us, why is all this befalling us? Why has this happened to us? They say, and where be all his miracles? I heard about the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the God who brought us across the Red Sea, the God who killed all the firstborn of Egypt and spared the firstborn of the Hebrews and brought us across the Red Sea and opened up the Red Sea and swallowed up the Egyptians and gave us manna and quail and led us by a pillary cloud by day and a fiery cloud by night. I heard about all that and gave us water out the rock. But where are his miracles now? I don't want to hear about the God of my fathers. I want to see God now. Elisha, after he crosses the Jordan and he gets the mantle of Elijah, he grabs that mantle, grabs that staff and said, he strikes the wall and said, where's the God of Elijah? And many of us, we become disillusioned because we keep hearing about this God who used to do this and who did that back then. And many of us, we become disillusioned because it looks like you're not seeing that same God manifest in your life right now. But I'm telling you, you got to stay in faith and don't retreat from it. So he says, where be all his miracles? Didn't God bring us out of Egypt? But now he's forsaken us. So you become disillusioned when you let your current situation become more powerful to you than the word of God. Oh, this is so good. When you allow your present story to cancel out history. When you allow your circumstances to become bigger than the God who can change the circumstances. So he looked at his current situation. He says, surely that can't be true. I'm disillusioned. I'm disappointed. Looks like God has forsaken me. And for those of us now who know the word, sometimes you got to stand on what God said beyond what you feel. And the scripture says, when my mother, my father forsake me, the Lord will be there to take me up. The scripture declares to me, and I got to echo it in my own ears and with my own mouth. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I have to remind myself that he said that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not forsaken because God can't lie. I'm not forsaken because I don't see anything right now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. It's scary, but thou art with me. It's a dark place, but thou art with me. I don't know why I'm here, but thou art with me. Because you can't limit God or reduce God to your experience. We said in 2 Timothy 2:13, because why? Even if we believe not, he's still faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says he can't deny himself. Just because you deny him, that don't change him. Peter denied Jesus 3 times that he knew him or that he even confessed and believed he was the Savior. And he still was the Savior. He was still Christ. Now he had to get that out of him. So he denies him 3 times. So after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus comes before Peter and said, now you got to undo that. Undo what? Undo that thrice denial. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know I just got delivered from cussing. Don't keep asking me the same question. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He denied him 3 times. Now he had to confess his love for him 3 times. Let me just give you this to think about. As long as it took to get you out of debt, all those years of not paying bills, all those years of being non-integral. Non-integral means you could have paid them, but you decided not to pay them. All those years of ignoring, all those years of not thinking it mattered whether you were late on payments or not. Is it possible that just because you got saved for 1 year and found out that God is a debt canceling God, is it possible you got to take a little time to undo all that? before you see the full manifestation of an 800 credit score? Y'all ain't catching me here. Yeah. Oh, I don't know why. I never said this before. And yes, you may be able to go to somebody who works stuff, do something, get your score instantly raised up. But can I tell you, if you don't realize the behaviors that you had, it won't be long. It's going to be back low again. See, there's certain things. It's not just God just trying to get us out. He's trying to get it out of us. We so busy getting out of Egypt. Yeah, I want to get out of Egypt. He said, but I need to get Egypt out of you. Otherwise, you'd be over here in the promised land still acting like you're in Egypt. That's why brothers can come to the church and think they got saved and I'm living for the Lord now. And they'll come to church and they try to juggle women before they got saved. And we ain't careful. They come up from church trying to do the same thing. I told you years ago, there was a brother in our church. He ain't here no more. Glory to God. I think I ran him off. We tried to juggle women in that church. And I found out he was doing this and that. And I called him. I said, let me tell you something. Then I found out. I said, he had done this one, that one. In a short period of time. I said, listen, I can't control your behavior. I said, but you're not going to do that up in this church. And I know about it. I said, if I find you had an encounter with one of my daughters in this church, I said, I'm going to call you out publicly and then put you out the church. So Pastor Monson and I, we had a movie. We went to the movies. And we saw this new girl. Girl just came in the church about 2 weeks. She was so excited to be here. And who's she there with? Brother Sleep Around. And she said, hey, Pastor. And she ran up just to speak to us. And he ran behind a pole. And we said, who are you here with? She said, I'm here with. And he didn't know our song. He over there hiding. Well, he felt he probably shouldn't be in the right direction. See, unless you get that stuff out of you, you come in church trying to do the same thing. You're in a wrong, you're in a good place, but still a bad mind. You're in a good place, still got bad character. Are y'all listening to me? See, well, I go to church and that means your schedule changed. Have you changed? Sometimes we're so busy trying to get out. God said, I need to get that out of you. My God, I don't even know how I got to that point. Let me move on here. So if we're not going to become disillusioned, we're not become disappointed, we're not going to draw back in faith. Let me take to this point. You got to settle it that God is good. Say that with me. Say, God's good. Come on, let's continue with what we say in the church. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Now, that's become settled. God is not good based upon whether I'm feeling good. He's still good. God is good not based upon whether something good happened to me today. God is good. God is good when my money's bad. God is good when circumstances are horrible. You have to get it settled. God is good and he changes not. Settle it. Psalm 73, 1 through 3. It says, truly God is good. Not was good. He what? He is good. Truly God is good to Israel. Truly God is good to Right Direction. Truly God is good to the Baileys. Truly God is good to Herbert. Put your name in there. Truly God is good to. Come on, put your name in there. Truly God is good to. Come on, put your family name in there. Truly God is good to. You got to know he's good. Truly. Truly, without a doubt. That word truly in the New Testament is used interchangeably with surely. Truly, truly, I say to you. Surely, surely, I say to you. Without a doubt, I say to you. Truly, surely, God is good to Israel. Even to such as are of a clean heart. He said, but I had to back up and remember this. The verse 2 said, but for me. Now, I can't talk about anybody else, he said. But for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost backslid. I almost started thinking God's not good. I almost became disillusioned, disappointment. I almost start saying, forget God, forget the church, forget my calling, forget my assignment. I'm not doing any of this. Why? Because verse 3 says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, when I saw folks who, in my mind, were not living holy. When I saw folks who, in my mind, from my perspective, were not faithful to God. When I saw people who I knew wasn't tithing. When I saw people I knew wasn't being faithful to their wife and faithful to their husband. When I saw people who I knew wasn't volunteering in church. I remember someone asked me a question one time. And it was a legitimate question. They were just bold enough to ask. They said, Pastor, at the time they weren't married. They've since been married. I remember them saying, Pastor, I know, you know, we taught to keep ourselves. And I was snooping in on Pastor Marcy's Women's Bible Study on Wednesday to save the cookie. I heard you. Pastor Marcy teach the Women's Bible Study to hold on to the cookie. Don't let the cookie monster get the cookie. He was teaching on that Women's Bible Study. Boy, they be on, it going around the world, y'all, on the Women's Bible Study. 12 o'clock, be some stuff going on there. Pastor Walter's been teaching us to keep the cookie. Hold on to the cookie. Don't let the cookie monster get the cookie. And say, I've been doing that, but look like these other women who I know sleeping around. Who I know not being fit. Who I know are living promiscuous life. They getting married before me. Oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. He said, why am I living holy again? Disillusion, disappointment. Now why am I doing this? Look like they. And I remember us giving response like, you don't know what their marriage is like. I'm going to go deeper here, y'all. I remember somebody, they were disappointed. They were being disappointed sexually with their spouse. And I was bold. I said, I asked them a question. Did you try it out before? They was honest, said, yeah. I said, well, you knew what you were getting. Shut up. You knew exactly what you were getting. Shut up. I may have some pity for you if you didn't try it. But since you didn't do it God's way, just shut up. Live with it. Dream, fantasize. Sometimes we do stuff our way. And then we want to blame God that our way didn't produce the results that we thought it won't produce. And that's why the Bible said that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And sometimes we look at the people. Come on. And what really messed us up, y'all, these phones. This Instagram. Man, I can mess you up. I started realizing. Now, again, I know I'm more holy than y'all. I know I hear God more than y'all. I know, yes, because I preach to y'all. Dr. Fred Price used to say, Dr. Fred Price used to say years ago, he said, I know I'm smarter than y'all. I got to be smarter than y'all. And we sit there and listen. He says, obviously I'm smarter than y'all. You know why I know I'm smarter than y'all? He said, who listening to who? Anyway. And you look at Instagram, I found myself getting envious, mad, a little bit jealous of people I didn't even know or I knew from a distance. Or I heard things about, and from Instagram, it looked like their life is just wonderful. Their church is just wonderful. Their children are just wonderful. Their cars are just, their money is just wonderful. Because everybody don't do like, my daughter told me, she's in marketing. She said, Dad, you're not supposed to put everything on Instagram. She said, Dad, Instagram is for beautiful pictures. She said, when you got something to say, put that on Twitter. Put that, when you want to give a long exercise, a thesis, put that on Facebook. But Instagram is just for beautiful pictures. And those who know that know you only post beautiful pictures. Well, everybody don't know that because some of them got some. Anyway, but that's the concept. And so sometimes you may go through several pictures before they put the one that's pretty on there. My point is, people choose what they're going to put on Instagram. You can't necessarily choose what goes on in your life. You can choose what you show to people. You can choose what you display. But can I tell you, everybody needs Jesus in our lives in some area. And some of us need Jesus more in one area than another area. But we all need the grace. We all need Jesus. We all need the blood. And we all need help. But you start looking up, man, I'm here. I'm going to church. I know they don't go to church. Look at that new car. And you don't know, their new car got 40% interest rate. That's what you don't know. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. Sometimes that stuff happens. But they got a new car. Yeah, 40% interest rate that they financed for 8 years. That they will forever have a picture up of them in that salesperson's booth. This is the biggest fool ever sold a car to. You don't know, you just made history at the lot for being the dumbest car purchaser ever. And you're so dumb when you purchase it. Somebody asks you what you paid for. You don't know. Somebody asks you what's the interest rate. You don't know. Somebody asks you how long you finance for. You don't know. All you know, I got a car. Wow. And you think that's blessed. Because you see the glory and you don't know the story.
God wants us to be persistent and steadfast in our faith. He wants us to draw near and draw close, but don't draw back. In this powerful series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to remain strong in our faith despite any circumstance. To order this series, just call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for I Will Not Retreat. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.